She and her new husband had been dealing with her ex's obsession ever since the court ordered him to pay her $15,000 a month in child support. Some people are blaming the justice system for being unfair, and others are blaming her for being greedy. But with all of the victim blaming, a mother of six still died, and her partner still had to sit by helplessly as it happened. This is the story of Ashley Stewart, the woman whose husband had to watch the moment before her life was ended. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I know that when I say this case reminds me of the Tepe murders out of Ohio, you'll be like, well, that's because women are out there getting killed by their ex-husbands every day. And you're not wrong. These kinds of things show up in my YouTube feed all of the time. But there were just a few things about this particular crime that made me want to cover it. The main one is that a man had to witness the moment his wife was about to be killed and could do absolutely nothing about it. On the afternoon of January 27, 2026, Adam Stewart called the police in Oswego, an hour outside of Chicago, when he saw a man follow his wife into their garage over his home security system. The authorities described the man as running after 41-year-old Ashley Stewart with a knife, which is just terrifying to imagine. Both for her, the person being attacked, and for her husband, the person having to watch the attack unfold. When the police arrived, they found that Ashley couldn't be saved from her multiple stab wounds. A witness said they saw a man running south across the road nearest to the house, so officers began searching the area with drones and dogs. They had what they believed to be a description of the suspect and his vehicle, and they quickly found him not a two-minute drive away from the Stewart home. The driver was 44-year-old Ryan Dale Dodd of nearby Aurora, and he's been charged with first-degree murder, home invasion, armed violence, residential burglary, and aggravated stalking, all of which are felonies. A judge didn't grant him bail, but to be completely honest, it sounds to me like this guy isn't a danger to society in general, because he had a one-track mind, and that track was his ex-wife, Ashley. On the day she was killed, someone called the police on Dodd because he was peeing behind a garage at 9:43 a.m., One local news source wrote that the court records actually said he was urinating behind garages, plural, so it sounds like the man can pee. 2 hours later, someone called the police again about him hiding near a townhouse wearing a face mask and carrying a large knife, but the cops couldn't locate him at that time. 2 hours after that, Dodd confronted Ashley outside her home, and the conversation almost immediately escalated to murder. So he was just hanging out in the cold for hours, hulking behind homes and just continuously releasing his bladder, waiting for her. The police said they found 4 separate incidents of surveillance conducted by Dodd in the month leading up to Ashley's murder. I take that to mean that they found something like photos or videos of her on his phone. In December, the Stewarts had to call the cops on Dodd when he randomly showed up at their home. And when investigators dove into his search history, it showed that he'd been Googling how to hide a tracking device on a Ford Explorer. Ashley, of course, had a 2022 Ford Explorer, and a GPS tracker was found attached under the rear bumper. At Dodd's house, a large knife and the clothes seen on the man in the security video were all just sitting there in a garbage bag. We don't know for sure what the motive was here, but what was happening in court could definitely set off a man with anger issues. Dodd and Ashley were married between 2004 and 2021 and had 5 kids together in the meantime. When they officially divorced in 2022, he was ordered to pay her over $18,000 a month for 10 years, amounting to more than $2 million. Now, this sounds like a ton of money, but he had a PhD in design and was a freelance website and app developer for big names like Walmart and Hyatt. People online are saying that he had to make something like $800,000 a year for the court to set his child support payments so high. But then again, he also filed for bankruptcy in November 2025. I thought maybe this was a ploy to get out of paying child support, but apparently declaring bankruptcy doesn't get you out of paying child support. So the following month, the month before the murder, even though he had just declared bankruptcy, Dodd had to go to an emergency court hearing. There, he was ordered to now pay Ashley $15,000 a month in child support. Kind of interesting that the court only dropped it by $3,000, but maybe they were sure he could pay it. Still, Dodd didn't make his December and January payments, and when Ashley's lawyer tried to go after him for the money, he refused. Take this with a grain of salt because I saw it on Facebook, but someone claiming to be a friend talked about how Ashley's story about escaping her abusive ex had helped so many women. In a screenshot supposedly from Ashley, she said that he wasn't physically abusive, but he cheated, lied, and controlled their finances. So I wonder if going to these lengths to withhold child support payments from her was just another attempt at control. The law firm that represented Ashley in her divorce posted a press release saying that Dodd was scheduled to appear in court the day after he killed her. So it sounds like his rage might have bubbled up and overflowed in the lead up to his court date. I definitely have some questions about this case, like how Ashley's new husband happened to be looking at the security feed right as she was being attacked. I wonder if he got some sort of alert when motion was detected. Or maybe the husband was just on alert because they'd had these two recent incidents where they called the police about Dodd. He was wearing a face mask and hat when he attacked Ashley, and yet her husband immediately recognized him on their security video. It just shows that he was on her husband's radar, like maybe it was even something they expected from Dodd and were watching out for. I also wonder why Ashley and her husband were living so close to her ex. It sounds to me like Ashley had sole custody of their kids, so I'm a little surprised that they would stay so close to this guy. On the other hand, the ex-husband in the Tepe case drove hours to attack his victim, so it's not like distance helps when someone is motivated to get revenge. The wildest thing to me is that Dodd actually remarried in 2024. I'm just like, let your ex be happy. Give her the money to raise your kids since you don't have custody for whatever reason, and just try to enjoy what you have if you're lucky enough to get a second woman to marry you. Their hometown newspaper published an article about how Ashley and Dodd graduated from the same high school 2 years apart, and people commented about how Dodd's dad was their favorite teacher and a respected member of the community. So stop embarrassing your dad, Dodd. Whenever you see anything on Facebook about this case, so many of the commenters are shocked about how much money Dodd was directed to pay Ashley for child support in their divorce when she had gotten remarried. There's a lot of victim blaming. Like, it was Ashley's fault that she was murdered because she was taking so much money from him. Like, of course he got angry at her when she was demanding $15,000 a month. Morally superior women like to mention how they came to a modest agreement with their exes that would never get them killed. I'll say that as a person who's never raised a child, $3,000 per month per child does seem pretty generous, especially when you see that foster families in Illinois are only paid something like $600 per child. Obviously, none of this is any reason to kill anyone, but the difference in privilege from one child to another really struck me. I suppose the court just wanted these kids to keep the standard of living they were used to. And again, it sounds to me like the court thought Dodd could afford to pay the child support and was just trying to get out of it. Ashley was a fiercely devoted mom of six, with her youngest being just 2 years old. A friend said nobody could ever, ever mistake how much love she put into her family. They called her a beacon of light, a genuine human being with a soft personality, and the kind of person who made a room feel warmer the second she walked in. She was known for using her social media to draw support for people in need and was about to graduate with her bachelor's degree before going on to law school. On a GoFundMe for the children, her husband, Adam, wrote, "Ashley will always be remembered for the love, strength, and unwavering care she extended to her family and others. Her eyes and smile brought peace, her laugh and humor brought joy, and her embrace brought comfort. She was a devoted wife and mother, a determined student, and a woman known for her courage, compassion, and resilience. She believed in justice, in protecting others, and in building a future for her family rooted in stability and care. That is the legacy we will honor and carry forward." Ryan Dodd is scheduled to be back in court on March 9th. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.